I'ma coming at me all the time. You better think I lose my mind, 'cause I'm stranded on my own. Stranded far from home. Alright.
Down the hall, down the hatch, down the basement.
Alright, here we are. This is CRTR 101.9 FM. Stranded, the Australian Canadian music show. This time every week, I broadcast great sounds from a long, long way away and in the distant past occasionally. This week, we're going to start with some older Canadian music. Skinny Puppy. They're an industrial band from this part of the world, and they formed in Vancouver, BC in 1982. I wanted to play for you a little bit of their music because I picked up their best of the singles collection when I was at the Network Records moving sale a couple of weeks back. I was rummaging through the bins and found some pretty interesting stuff because I love history. And here's a band I haven't really dug into a lot yet, but I am very much aware that they're one of the most well-known bands really to come out of this part of the world. And they had a great sort of foundation when they formed. I mean, they're a really great time. They were real pioneers of the industrial music sound, along with Ministry and the Nine Inch Nails. So I'm going to play for you a few tracks from Skinny Puppy soon. And a really great show today. I have two interviews and another special guest phoning through too. We have an interview towards the second half of the show with Andy Gordon. He is a very interesting sort of modern-day alternative folk artist from Kangaroo Valley in New South Wales. Really fascinating chap to speak to, with a great sense of history and a real devotee of songcraft. And Andy spoke to me this week about his record, and in particular the song called Breelong Black, which is his song form homage to a very important story written about an Aboriginal gentleman, actually based on a true story. The book was called The Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith, and it relates the story of an Aboriginal man who was very oppressed in his life and his working conditions, and faced a lot of racism in the community that he was from in New South Wales. And he eventually snapped and took the law into his own hands and actually killed his captors. It's a true story, and Andy has very expertly crafted a song about this story, which is actually quite known to a lot of Australians. The Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith is a classic book, and I guess taught in some schools, although not mine, regretfully so. So Andy's going to fill us in on the historical background of that tale, and we'll hear the song and some of his other songs as well from his release. So that's Andy Gordon coming up in the second part of the show. I also have another really quick interview, which is with Richard from the Infectuals, a band from Kamloops, and a very interesting story behind them, so I'll get to them soon. But now, here's Skinny Puppy.
A band! Do you hear it? There's somebody here!
We'll be right back.
All right, a couple of tracks there from Skinny Puppy. Definitely a very identifiable sound there, and that was cutting edge for the time. We're looking into the past. These songs are from the Skinny Puppy Singles Collect, which is their CD that I picked up at the Network Records moving sale. I guess Network is a pretty established record label here in the city of Vancouver, and they have a pretty eclectic range of artists, like all sorts, including Sarah McLachlan and these guys, Skinny Puppy. And thankfully, that I discovered too, Liam Finn. So a couple of weeks back, I played the Liam Finn album that I found there in the basement, bargain basement bins of the Network Records moving sale. So you heard their track number 3 on the compilation called Dig It. And that second track was called Stairs and Flowers. So this is CITR Radio, Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. Digging into the past with Skinny Puppy. 1982 they started, and let's see, years active. They're still somewhat active, apparently. I don't know a lot about their current output. Well, hang on, let's hear online. They did put out a record in 2013, so there you are. They are a going concern. I haven't seen notices of live shows or anything around these parts, so it'd be interesting to... Yeah, I'll have to do a little bit more research about these guys, because I know that they're pioneers and they are from this very part of the world. I'm going to be right back with my favorite track of the band Skinny Puppy. The song's called Tin Omen. It's just awesome. It's brutal and powerfully put together. So I will be right back. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. And yeah, lots of great interviews coming up today on the show too. So stay tuned.
Pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, and sausage. Pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, and sausage. Pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, and sausage. Pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, and sausage.
Press 1 if you are tripping balls. Press 2 if you are planning to trip balls. Press 3, if all the balls have been tripped, yet you find yourself adrift amongst the tubes of the ether, dreaming of tubes amongst spheres that have not yet been you. Pressed 1, you are tripping balls.
Relax. You're not tripping balls. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Okay, so time to get into some more tracks from Skinny Puppy. And our first little call through today is actually going to be from a gentleman named Al. He's an Australian national who bases himself out of Whistler, and his guitar went missing. Some nasty human being stole his wonderful Australian Matin guitar, and he's actually posting an ad Ramirez in the back of the George Strait about it. And I'm going to give him a hand today by announcing on air and seeing if anyone has any information. So he's actually going to call through and speak about that. But first up is another couple of tracks from the band Skinny Puppy from this part of the world, British
Monday,
Columbia.
4 to 5 p.m.
Industrial music. My favorite track of theirs called Tin Omen. We'll be right back after these songs.
People are asleep and dreaming.
are asleep in dreams.
CITR is proud to support the Catalano Music and Art Festival, Vancouver's biggest free outdoor music event.
Catalano takes place on West 4th Avenue between Burrard and McDonald on Saturday, July 13th. CITR will be hosting a stage on Maple Street with bands Blind Horses, Chelsea Lang, Village, Coban, War Baby, The Gay 90s, and No Sinner. Be sure to come by and check out all the festival has to offer. For more information, go to catalano.com.
Okay, welcome back. This is CITR Radio and Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. You can find us online at ausstrandedradio.com. And digging into the past there with Skinny Puppy from Vancouver, BC, a release that they put out, a collection of singles, 15 tracks in all. And the last two tracks you heard there were Tin Omen, track 9, which is my personal fave, and then Tormentor, track 10. So Skinny Puppy formed in 1982, and they, after their self-released first cassette in 1984, they quickly signed to Network Records. And from Network, the debut EP Remission came out in 1984, and they went on to have a huge dedicated cult following all around the world, and they still exist to this day in some form. They've done a hell of a lot of touring around the world, and one of the great... cutting-edge bands from Vancouver. Still with us, the record Weapon came out in 2013. Okay, so this is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, and as I mentioned, I've got a gentleman named Al phoning through right now to have a chat about a stolen guitar from Whistler. Not a good thing, but we've got him on the phone. He's going to tell us how you can help if you find it. So I'll be right back, and we'll be speaking with Al.
Things I would carry in my pockets.
Yeah, you guys were always the cool radio station with the like fun magazine and everything.
That's the right, Discorder.
Wishes we had. Yeah. We always wanted a magazine like that back in the day.
Yeah.
My campus radio roots go deep.
We just actually reformatted the Discorder, so it's now in this new cool zine size, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah, that was always the cool thing when it came into the station. We're always like, oh man, this is so cool. How do we get this going? And it's really cool that it's all like student sponsored and everything.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's really fun. This is Basha Balat, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Okay, so we have Al Mack. He is phoning through now from his home in Vancouver. He spends a lot of time in Whistler where he plays some music. He is an Australian expat, and he lost a beloved guitar, so we wanted to get the word out, and he's going to tell us about what happened. Hello, Al.
Yeah, how you going?
Great. Thanks for phoning. I noticed your ad in the back page of the Georgia Strait, and also Chris from Bass One Guitars told me about you as well, so... first up, what can you tell us about what happened?
Well, I'd started playing cover tunes back in Whistler for a number of times, and I'd actually gotten together a little bit of a band with some friends of mine, and we played a show up in the Crystal Lounge up in Whistler, and funnily enough, my guitar actually broke about 10 minutes before I was due to go on. And my pickup broke, so I didn't end up playing it that night. And then upon packing it up, whoever decided to help us out in carrying my guitar out to the van waited for us to get a little bit further ahead and just walked off with it. And we lost it that night, and it's been pretty devastating, actually.
Oh, geez, it's not good. And like, the best thing you can do for us now is describe as much detail as you can about what the guitar looks like.
Okay, excuse me. Well, the best thing about it is, I suppose, it's a pretty rare guitar. They're made in Melbourne. They're actually made 15 minutes from where I live back in Melbourne. It's a Cole Clark. The model number is FL2AC, so it actually is a fat lady. What's probably the most noticeable about it is the fret inlays are all big square, sort of the Gibson style, on the fret inlays. It's got a big brown stain on the top of the headstock from me leaving my capo stuck on it as I played a lot of shows. And of course the pickup is broken on it, so that doesn't work. And also, I was in a black case with a number of stickers from, you know, having travelled around with it, and, you know, as you put stickers on all of your property, so... Yeah, it means a lot to me, and you know, I've never lost anything this close to me before, and I'm pretty devastated about it. I actually spent the day today going around to have a look at some pawn shops to see if it's been pawned, but no luck at all. Mm. So.
Well, we'll do the best we can to put the word out right now. So, folks, what was the brand again? What's the identifiable brand name?
It was a Cole Clark, C-O-L-E-C-L-A-R-K.
Right.
So I'd spent a lot of time playing covers with it in Whistler. I actually started playing obscure covers from back in the day of Triple J, and when Mel Bampton used to do Like a Virgin, when she introduced that, and I quite liked the fact that a lot of artists would put their own spin on a cover tune. So I started doing that, and then continued on with a loop pedal, and then so I've spent a lot of time with it. It's been backwards and forwards to Canada with me like four or five times, so I'm hoping that the music community, which I've just discovered is just amazing in Vancouver, everybody's pulled together to try and help out to get this guitar back for me, which is just amazing. So I've taken my hat off to people, and even the guy in the Georgia Strait offered to run my ad again this week for free just to help out, which is great.
Well, that's really good news to hear about people coming together like that, and we'll certainly let you know if we find it. Oh, I guess the most important thing, people would probably want to know how to contact you.
Yeah, well, I suppose, do you want me just to yell out my email address? Or
sure,
whatever,
or phone number, whatever works for you.
Well, my phone number is 604-910-6508, or you can just hit me up at my email address, which is alacoustic, one word, at hotmail.com. So that's alacoustic, one word, at hotmail.com. Okay. So if anyone sees anything, like I'm offering a reward, this guitar is very dear to me, and I'm hoping I can, you know, I'm offering a cash reward just for honesty or anything, so. Mm.
Right, well, that's Lost Guitar, Al Mack. Please do call through or email to him if you find it anywhere. It disappeared from Whistler a couple of weeks back, and it could be anywhere in the Lower Mainland too, so. Well, thanks, Al, and I'll keep my eye out for sure.
Thanks a lot, guys.
No
Cheers.
Problem. Okay, bye for now.
See you later.
So this is Stranded, and I'll be right back, and I have a special interview with Andy Gordon coming up soon, and also another quick interview before that with Richard from a band called the Infectuals from Kamloops. So I'll be right back. This is Stranded, and please, if you do find Al's guitar, please get in contact with him at the details he gave you, but also my website, ozstrandedradio.com, has an email address, so you can get contact with him through me if you find that lost guitar. We'll be right back on Stranded on CITR Radio.
CITR is proud to support the 36th Annual Vancouver Folk Music Festival on July 19th, 20th, and 21st at Jericho Beach.
This year's festival features over 60 artists, including Steve Earle and the Dukes, Aidan Knight, Kathleen Edwards, The Cat Empire, and many more.
Be sure to get your tickets today for the best weekend of your summer.
For more information, visit thefestival.bc.ca.
Okay, so this is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. And as I mentioned, if you did just tune in partway through that conversation with Al Mack, and you do possibly have any information on this lost guitar, you can, if you didn't hear his details, you can get in contact with me. AllStrandedRadio.com is the blog and for this show, and I have an email address there. Now, we have two interviews coming up, including Andy Gordon from Kangaroo Valley in New South Wales, a very fascinating chap. But let's play a couple of tracks now from a band, an Australian band you could see tonight in Vancouver. They're called The Resignators, and they're playing at Pat's Pub and Brew House as part of, I think it's part of the Scarfest. Yeah, they're a really wild band. They're actually, their CD actually turned up here on our playlist, which is always good to hear an Australian band actually get on our playlist here. They're from Melbourne. They're a seven-piece ska band, and they're playing tonight at 9 p.m. at Pat's Pub. So let's play a couple of tracks from The Resignators, and then we'll get into our two interviews for today. This is The Resignators from Melbourne, Australia, and the track is called Told Me Twice.
Yeah,
Girls Rock Camp Vancouver is a week-long summer camp for 8 to 18-year-old girls to start a band and learn an instrument. Our mission is to build self-esteem in female youth through music creation and performance. You are invited to our 5th anniversary final showcase where you can see 9 brand new bands perform the original songs they wrote at camp this year. It's Saturday, July 13th at 6:30 p.m. at the Rio. Tickets are $10 at Zulu, Red Cat, and Audiopile.
Sounds like a great initiative there. Thanks, Sarah, for letting us know about that, the Girls Rock Camp here over the weekend. So this is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show, and you just heard there the ska sounds of the band The Resignators from the record See You in Hell. They're playing tonight at Pat's Pub. If you're in Vancouver, you can get down and see them. You heard two tracks from them. First up, Told Me Twice, and then Train Robbers, spelled R-O-B-B-A-Z. They're a 7-piece ska band from Melbourne, Australia, in the state of Victoria. So, coming up towards the end of the show, I have this fascinating interview with Andy Gordon. He is an alt-folk singer from Kangaroo Valley in New South Wales with a great sense of history and great sense of songcraft. But I'm just going to play for you now a really interesting ad hoc interview. This was totally random. I just happened to be down here on Saturday puttering about in the studio doing editing. And it turns out that no one showed up for a slot, and I just jumped in because I'm like, well, I'll just do it. I'm here. I'll do this slot. And I got a phone call from a gentleman that I know, Darcy, who runs a pub on Main Street called Mr. Brownstone's. And he just said, oh, Matt, I have this band coming through town from Kamloops called The Infectuals. Could you play their music on their show? Their show is on Thursday night next week. And I said, well, geez. I couldn't, like, my show's on Friday night, it's no good to you, but if you do it right now, if you get this guy on the phone, if he can send me any songs, or I'll do an interview right now, and within 10 minutes, it all happened, and I spoke to Richard from The Infectuals. I didn't know he existed until we played this interview, so before we spoke live on air. So I'm going to play for you a track from them first. They're from Kamloops, BC. Really great guys. I met them last night. I'm going to play for you a track called Tonight from their Reverb Nation website, and then I'll play for you that really interesting ad hoc interview that I recorded last Saturday afternoon. This is The Infectuals from Kamloops, BC. So that's the sound of the Infectuals. They're a band from Kamloops in BC, which is in the, inland from the coast. I haven't spent a lot of time in those parts, but I hear from Richard, the drummer from this band, the Infectuals, that there's a really fertile artistic community in the interior of BC, and the Infectuals are a hard-working band, and I caught them last night at Mr. Brownstone's pub on Main Street. And so if you didn't hear what I mentioned before this song, it was fascinating series of events. I just happened to be down at the station last Saturday afternoon, and no one showed up for a slot here on the radio, so I just jumped in to fill in and got a call from Mr. Brownstone, the publican at Darcy, the publican at Mr. Brownstone, and he asked me if I wanted to interview Richard from the Infectuals on my show, and I just said, well, let's do it now. I'm sitting in the studio. So within a matter of minutes, we recorded what I'm about to play for you now. So here we go. This is an interview with Richard, drummer from the Infectuals. And I caught them last night, met Richard and his brother, and they're really great guys and incredibly proficient instrumentalists, good musicians. So here we go. Here's the interview. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. Myself talking with Richard from the Infectuals from Kamloops.
Well, for us, I'm actually just sitting in the band van right now. So it's trying to do a bunch of things at once here, as usual.
Yeah.
We're actually based out of the interior. We're based out of Kamloops, BC.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've just played a track of yours called Tonight. I wanted to ask you a bit about yourself and the band, and then you did allude to an interesting connection, a family connection you have to UBC. So I guess first up, what is the... who are the Infectuals?
Well, the Infectuals came together, I guess, it's been about 6 or 7 years now, and just musicians that have always been really tight friends, and it's just worked out that the music has become a really easy conversation with all of us, and we've been able to stick together and do some great work. The band is, the bass player doubles on organ, and the guitarist doubles on organ as well, and we're all multi-instrumentalists, so we get along well that way, and our style is really mixed. Like, we've got that song Tonight that you just heard, for instance. That tune is sort of a derivative of some music that we really like, of the early sort of grunge era and stuff like that. Yeah. And we love that stuff, but we also have reggae tunes, and we're really into soul music and Motown feels and old rock and roll. So we mix it up. It's definitely a mixtape of sorts when you come and hear the Infectuals. There's a little bit for everybody, right? All ages, and yeah.
What can you tell us about this family connection you have to Pitt's Pub?
Well, it's just there's some irony there, just because my father was working on the experimental farms at UBC, early 70s, and my sister was actually kind of born out there, Maxine, and she is an entertainer as well, and so we were talking a little while ago, my family, and my dad was just saying, do you know the old story about how we started the Pitt Pub, your mom and I and a couple of our friends, and we were the first, I was the first bartender at the Pitt Pub. He was in 1971 or 72 or something like that. He couldn't really remember exactly what year, but they were hiring, really awesome acts like Sonny Terry, Brownie McGee. They had come out there and play, and just different, musicians from all over kind of stopping in and playing. And so, yeah, a pretty unique story there, and we can't wait to get out there and play a couple dates when school fires up here.
Yeah, like actually in the physical pub itself, that might happen. Yeah,
yeah, no, we will, and it'll be a great, it'll be a really brilliant night.
That's really quite fascinating. And this has been such a quick impromptu interview. I think this probably deserves another chat. I think at some stage, I host a regular show on Friday night, so I think there'll be time for more of a chat. But we've only got 5 minutes to go, so how about we play another track for the listeners? I guess I have two others in front of me. Is there one you wanted to pick, Clarity or In Between?
Oh, yeah, well, either or. Clarity's pretty close to my heart. I wrote that with my brother, Russell, and he's the lead singer in the Infectuals, and we're house-sitting this really beautiful house of my sister's, and just a, one of those nights where the chords and the lyrics just fell together, and I think we kind of came up with it in about 10 or 15 minutes, and you know, we're really, really inspired by people like by Ziggy Marley and Peter Tosh and stuff like that. So this is definitely an ode to those kinds of people and Bob Marley. We just actually went to Ziggy Marley as special guests in Kelowna last week, and that was just a brilliant experience. So yeah, this is our reggae take on things, which would be with Clarity.
Awesome. Well, we're speaking with Richard. Richard Graham of the Infectuals, band from Kamloops, was it?
From Kamloops. BC, yeah.
Kamloops, BC.
Where it's 38 degrees right now.
Oh, Jesus. You don't have the benefit of the sea breeze here.
I love it, though. We love the heat here, man.
Wow. Sounds like Australia. So let's play. Let's sign out this special ad hoc show. With the song Clarity by the Infectuals. Okay, thank you, Richard, for calling through. This is Clarity by the Infectuals, and my name's Matt. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Matt.
No problem.
And a big shout-out to all the Vancouverites on campus there. We can't wait to start making some music for you guys. So.
Sounds great.
All right.
Okay. Talk to you again soon.
It was just after midnight. How to get it together? Offered each other inside. You don't have to turn on the red light. When the smoke filled the room, yeah, took us back to a place with clarity. We came up with this tune, yeah, in the light of the
That's the sound of a band named The Infectuals from Kamloops, BC. There's so much amazing music, I mean, in the city of Vancouver, but outside in the interior too. That's one example. And if you just tuned in, that was an interview I recorded with Richard, the drummer of The Infectuals. Really fascinating guy, and it came together so quickly. I did not know this guy existed before I was on the phone with him 10 minutes later. And he revealed that actually really fascinating connection between his family. So that is the Infectuals that you're hearing in the background from Kamloops, BC. Really fascinating chat I had there with Richard, the drummer. literally 10 minutes before I recorded that interview, I did not know he or his band existed. And he very quickly revealed that fascinating connection between his family and the Pitt Pub here right at UBC. So I will endeavor to interview him again, or hopefully his father, who was the guy who started the Pitt Pub in the 60s. Now, I'm sure he has some really fascinating tales to tell about who played, you know, what they got up to back then in the 60s, which was like, that was it. That's when music was pretty amazing. And anyway, so that was a very impromptu interview that I recorded last Saturday afternoon when I was doing a fill-in here. So the Infectuals are from Kamloops, and they play around these parts a fair bit. And they have a self-titled album out called Infectuals. I'll be right back with my final interview for today with Andy Gordon. He's an alternative folk singer from Kangaroo Valley in New South Wales. I had a fantastic time talking with him. He's a very thoughtful man and a real song craftsman of the old school. And he's going to tell you some fascinating things about one song in particular called Breelong Black, which is based on historical events in Australia some time ago. This is CITR Radio.
Hello, Vancouver. This is Carolyn Mark. You're listening to CITR 101.9 on your FM dial.
This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. You can find us online at CITR.ca, where this show Stranded is streamed at this time every week at 6 o'clock Vancouver time. You could be listening anywhere in the world, and there might be some listeners now in Sydney listening in, because I have my interview now with Andy Gordon. His release is called The Reverend Jorfy, and that's spelled J-O-R-F-Y. And I'm going to play for you a track now to get you in the headspace for Andy Gordon and his telling us very soon about his life work as a musician, and in particular the track Breelong Black, which is just an extraordinary retelling of the story of The Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith, which is a very well-known Australian novel. So let's get into a track now. This is actually track one from Andy Gordon's record, The Reverend Jorfy. The song is called One-Eyed Jesus. And then we'll be back with an interview I recorded with Andy this past week. And this is a real treat. Here it is. This is Andy Gordon from New South Wales, Australia. Oh, we're just having a little hard time getting that playing off Bandcamp. Don't worry, it should still get up pretty soon. well, we might have to just get through into the interview, because I actually have some of his music playing in the background. So I'll fix that problem with Bandcamp after that. So here it is. Here's part one of my interview with Andy Gordon from New South Wales, the region of Kangaroo Valley. So he's going to be telling us right up at the start of the interview about where he lives.
I live in a really bush setting. I live under an escarpment quite high up, and I look out north over a paddock and through forest to the distant escarpment, and beyond that is Robertson, a town that looks down over Wollongong. I grew up in Wollongong, yes, I'm not that far away from where I actually grew up, although I came here via Sydney. My grandfather was musical, and so time that I spent with him was always singing or doing something musical, and then my mum and I used to sing together before I really could do much else. And I still actually have an old guitar of hers. It's an old Maiden, which is an Australian company. I've still got that, but that's the instrument that she'd sing songs to me, and I'd eventually learn how to harmonise along with her. And that's my earliest memory, I think, is singing songs with her. Gramps played a banjo. He had a banjo mandolin, which is still actually kicking around at home as well, but I think it's a pretty cheap instrument. I do toy with the idea of getting it up and running, but I think it's pretty buggered. The last time I looked at it, it was a bit split, and I'm not really sure whether it's worth rejuvenating, but it's kind of still in the family, I guess. But I did start on trumpet, and I could have easily just kept on being used, or maybe even played in a symphony orchestra. I did play in the Wollongong Symphony when I was smaller, but it was when I left school and moved to Sydney and started working in studios that I started playing in a band again. I'd played in a band through high school and played drums and sang, but as soon as I went to Sydney and just saw what was going on, I think I really wanted to do it. I wanted to be on the musician side of the glass rather than the technician side of the glass. And I've always been interested in words. My old man was big on words and reading, and I guess also just the music I was listening to when I was growing up was about songs and songwriting and rhyme. And so, yeah, it wasn't a foregone conclusion, but certainly it was what I was interested in. And when I started doing it, I guess then I fell in love with it and fell in love with the concept of how the hell do you do this, you know. And it's a really good thing because you never get sick of it and it's never easy. So it's always a challenge. There's always something going on, something to learn. I've been writing a whole series of folk songs while I've been living here in Kangaroo Valley. We had a couple of situations where the government were trying to do things, and so I wrote these protest songs, and one was a song about sedition, and one was a song about raising a damn wall down here, which involved a lot of research, just trying to understand what the history of that dam was and what it was meant to do. And then also I wrote a song about a bridge that they were repairing down here in Kangaroo Valley, which is a really old heritage bridge. So I started reading about the history of that as well and trying to write these quite factual folk songs. And I was toying with the idea of doing an entire album about Kangaroo Valley as sort of a series of folk songs. And so I was doing a lot of reading. Normally I would read fiction, but I had started to read a bit of history, and particularly history of the Liverpool Ranges and the country west of Tamworth, the black soil country, and it's where settlers first moved out of Sydney up into the rich country to try and, make a new life. And so it was in doing that kind of reading that I got involved in that story of Jimmy Guvner and Breelong Black, and that's where that song started to come out of. But even then, I had a couple of goes at writing that song and failed. Every time I started writing it, it sounded really just cheap. And I guess because it was such a huge issue and such a big story, I think it took me a while just to work out how I was going to say it or say it anew, because it had been told before.
That's the voice there of Andy Gordon. He's an alternative folk singer from the region of Kangaroo Valley in New South Wales. And I spoke with him on the phone this past week, and it was really a wonderful chat with a real gentleman and a thoughtful singer-songwriter. And he just spoke there towards the end about his song Breelong Black, about the chant of Jimmy Blacksmith. It is a familiar novel to a lot of Australians. It won the Booker Prize in 1972. The author is Thomas Keneally, and it recalls the true story of a gentleman who he was an Aboriginal named Jimmy Guvner, and he endured a tremendous amount of discrimination and racism where he lived. And his life got to breaking point one day. He snapped and actually murdered his captors. And I'm going to play for you the song now, Breelong Black, that Andy Gordon wrote, his retelling in song form of this very well-known story. And then Andy is going to be explaining all about how he came to write this song. It is, I think this is a very remarkable song, and he's paid homage well to the novel and the story with a lot of respect. So let's play the song now. This is Breelong Black by Andy Gordon. He's a singer-songwriter from Kangaroo Valley, New South Wales. This is Breelong Black, his telling of the story of the chant of Jimmy Blacksmith, the novel by Thomas Keneally, and the story of the Aboriginal man Jimmy Guvner.
So I'm leaving, I've done something wrong. Can I take my soul along. I'd make it up if they let me be. I think it's beyond hope for me. I only know how to fight. Can't make a wrong into a right. I see it all now, second sight. I hear their howls out in the night. Relong black, I can hide in the tracks, running as fast as the crow flies. Breelong black, bring it on back. I'll be at the gallows for dinner. He got out of a temper. His axe to Miss Malby's head, cut her down in a fit of rage. They denied him a decent wage. My young Ethel, my brother Joe, we run as far as we can. 200 horses, 2,000 men. Couldn't find this one bad man. Belong back, I'm getting them back. Say no business marrying a white girl. The gallows this evening.
Andy Gordon with his remarkable track Breelong Black. He's going to be talking right now about that track extensively, the story behind it. It is a story. It was in a novel form by Thomas Keneally. It came out in 1972 and became a film in 1978 too, directed by Fred Skepsy. And the novel was based on the life of bushranger Jimmy Governor, who was an Aboriginal gentleman who sustained incredible torment through his landowners, who, you know, basically controlled his life, and he was at the full brunt of racist attitudes. And Thomas Keneally wrote a very moving novel called The Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith. Andy Gordon was very moved to write a song about it on his latest record, and the song is called Breelong Black, and you just heard it. So let's get into the next part of my interview with Andy Gordon, where he explains in great detail how he came to record this song, what inspired him, and the story behind Jimmy Governor and what became the story, the novel that Thomas Keneally wrote.
Jimmy Blacksmith is the most popular version of that story.
at the turn of the century, there was a fella called Jimmy Governor, and he was a black man, a Koori man from out round Golgong Way, which is western New South Wales. And he married a white woman, Ethel, and at the turn of the century, probably, gee, I hate to say it, I'm embarrassed to say it, but in Australia it's probably still a rather strange thing to do. We're still pretty racist, but at that stage, at the turn of the century, it was a terrible thing for a white man to marry a black man to marry a white woman. It was frowned upon, and so her family kind of disowned her, and his people were pretty disparaging towards him as well. So they had a very difficult life together, trying to make do, and they had a young son, and they lived on a white fella's land. It was called the Breelong Run, and they were camped there as black fellas did in those days, and he had his brother with him, Joe, and a friend, Jackie Underwood, and some other family members, and they were sort of trying to live there, and Jimmy was working away on the Breelong Run doing fencing at the time, and his whole life had been one series of hardships after another, and I think because he was a proud man and a strong man, he got for having enough of it. And at one stage, the thing that tipped him over the edge was that Malby, the owner of the Breelong Run, he rejected a whole lot of split posts that Jimmy had done. I think, you know, hundreds of fencing posts that he'd got ready, and Malby rejected them and said he wouldn't pay for them. And then when Ethel went up to the household to get the rations of flour and tea, Mrs. Malby was saying all sorts of things like, you know, that she was a dirty piece of work marrying a black fella, and they were being very disparaging up there at the household and making fun of her and taunting her. And so she was bringing these stories back to Jimmy, and he just had enough. And he and Jackie went up to the household, and they had an unarmed shotgun, and they had a couple of nulla nullas, which are big sticks that they'd thump things with, and they took to the women in the household and murdered them all, and the kids, and one kid got away, but they got in a rage and made a hell of a mess. I mean, obviously it was very much the wrong thing to do, but I guess he was sort of pushed to that point too, depending on which way you want to look at the story. Then they went on the run, and they were on the run. I think they saw themselves as kind of bushrangers, and Jimmy had a list of people that he was going to go and extract revenge on, different families around the district that had done the wrong thing by him. And so they picked up Joe, his brother, and the three of them took off, and they were on the run for 3 months, and they killed another family in the area, the O'Brien family, and they burnt properties down, and they were generally gallivanting around the place, and they couldn't be caught. They had all these tricks up their sleeve from Jimmy's black tracking days and just their knowledge of the bush. No one could find them, and they kept on doubling back on themselves, and they'd walk down railway lines, and they were impossible to track. Sometimes they'd be hiding under a bridge while a whole lot of white fellas went past them over the top on horses and making a lot of noise, and they'd just be quietly sitting under the bridge. So they kept all these people at bay. At the turn of the century, it was the talk of the town. It made all of the newspapers, and it was this huge manhunt for these three black fellas. And of course, eventually they were captured, and Jimmy was taken down to the big jail in Sydney. And because it was celebration for the Federation time, and there was all sorts of merriment and everything, they didn't want to distract from that, so they kept Jimmy in prison for a further 3 or 4 months and hung him quietly after all the festivities had happened. So even his death was something that was denied him any chance to make a statement with or anything like that. And I guess I kind of, even though he was a murderer and what he did was wrong, I couldn't help but feel like he had also done the only thing that was available to him, and that was to fight back. And so I was captivated by it, and yeah, that's where the song sort of started from. And very, very sad story. Sad for all the people involved, of course, the white families and the black families. song was in a sort of an essay form when I took it to the studio recording this album with Sid Green, and it was very much a co-write between he and I. He sort of found the feel of the song and the chord progression, and from that the song became really easy once we worked out how to breathe and how to have some air in it. It was as if the story told itself then, which was, it kind of almost went out of my hands, and we just had to do it the way we did it. But yes, another friend, Tanya Bowerer, who sang backing vocals on the album, she came down and we played her that song, Bree Long Black, and said, geez, what do you think, hey? And she said, well, I saw a theatre piece last year in Sydney at Carriage Works called Posts in the Paddock, and it was written by descendants of Jimmy Governor and descendants of the O'Brien family, the second family that he murdered. And they did a theatre piece together as a sort of a form of reconciliation and a coming to grips with their shared traumatic history. And what's really interesting about that is the O'Brien family still owns the land there that was sort of part of that history, and Jimmy Governor's descendants still live on, and they still live with that shame as well and the horror of it, and so this theatre piece was a way of them coming to grips with it. So we immediately upon hearing that thought, Christ, we've got to get in contact with these people and make sure that they're okay with this song and that they're okay with what we've done, and so I tried to make contact with all of the four key people, and luckily Loretta Parsley, Auntie Loretta Parsley, who's Jimmy Governor's great-granddaughter, she kindly made contact with us, and I've been seeing her and talking to her on a weekly basis ever since. In fact, she was up here staying with us for 3 days last week, and another lovely time spent together just sharing stories and learning more about her and Jimmy and her family too. I guess the interesting thing for me is that when I wrote the song, when Sid and I wrote the song, I was pretty stupid. I sort of thought that I was just writing about something that happened in the past. I didn't really realise that, of course, the families keep living, you know, and while ever they have children and while ever they keep trying to survive, the story keeps going too. And so it's been a really interesting journey to get to know Auntie Loretta and really to kind of get that greater depth to the story. It's made it very real to me, and she's, of course, she's happy with the song and happy with what we've done with it, and she appeared in the video clip, and so that was an honour as well, just to know that we hadn't stuffed up the story and we hadn't done the wrong thing, which was really good. It's very interesting because, in fact, after Jimmy was hanged, Ethel came down and lived in Wollongong for a while, and then she moved further down the coast to Narooma. And so it's amazing because that history of the survival of Jimmy's family is all around this area. And Loretta grew up in Nowra, which is a town close to us, and she lives down near Batemans Bay now, back on her country. And so it's, yes, well, geographically right in the middle of it. It's the one thing that I've really learnt, I think, more than anything, is that we still, as white people in this country, we still need to hear the stories, and we need to hear them a couple of times. We don't need to just hear them once and think that we're done with it. And that the black people do want to tell stories, and they do want they want to be heard, and we haven't been listening. So it's, yeah, we've got a lot to learn. We've still got a lot of ground to cover, and we're nowhere near getting things right with Aboriginal people in this country, so...
Interview I recorded with Andy Gordon this past week. He is based in Kangaroo Valley, New South Wales, and he very, in an articulate way, just told us there all about the history behind his song, Bree Long Black. I highly recommend checking out Andy Gordon's music, andygordon.com.au, and you can learn more about that fascinating song, the history behind Bree Long Black. Thank you, Andy, for all that detail and your wonderful tunes. I'm going to play for you the last part of the interview right now. We're almost out of time, but let's get to it. This is Andy Gordon from New South Wales in Australia talking a bit more about his current album, which you can find on Bandcamp, Andy Gordon, his Bandcamp. And let's hear it now. This is Andy talking about his album, The Reverend Jorphy.
I was lucky when I teamed up with Sid Green, my producer. He had the utmost faith in me as an artist, and so the album that we made together, and we very much made it together, it's just so measured and easy, and it has a real, well, I hope, maturity about it, and kind of really, we were trying to make beautiful art beyond sort of normal songwriting. Probably sounds a bit lofty and maybe a little bit pretentious, but that was what we were going for, and I hope that pace and that assuredness is kind of in the songs and in the instrumentation of it. There's a lot of air, and you know, also like in the old days when jazz players were playing, they'd often say it was what you didn't play that was just as musical as the notes you were playing. And I think that was kind of like almost a mantra on this album as well. You don't have to fill every song with words, and you don't have to fill every part of the music with notes. Sometimes it's that breath, and sometimes it's those things that you don't say that are just as important. So this is kind of like an album that's been really made with a lot of care and a lot of love, but also there's a lot of, I hope, kind of mystery or just stuff that a listener can form themselves over listening to it, you know, a couple of times. I hope that it engages people. It's something that, you know, you talk about albums as being a creeper or something, hey, you know, something that you don't necessarily get it all the first time. It's only after repeated listening that you start really working your way into it. And I hope it's one of those kind of albums too. It's a good era to be making music in, you know, and particularly that sort of alternate folk genre. I'm calling this stuff beardy country as well, but I think, you know, like there is an emphasis on melody and words and good songwriting again. We've gone out the other side of manufactured pop music, and it's a great time to be trying to make meaningful music. Of course, it's the harder thing is working out how you make any money from it, but the making of it and hopefully people listening to it is the best it's ever been. You know, please check out the album, The Reverend Jorphy, and you know, and write on my Facebook page or get in contact. You know, I'm happy to chat with anyone, and I think that's the amazing thing about music today, and even things like Facebook, you can actually talk to the artist, and you can interact in a way that we never could as kids when we were listening to music. You know, I kind of worked out how the hell I could have contacted any of the artists that I was keen on when I was listening to music. You know, today it's actually really easy, it's really accessible. So please don't be shy if anyone's got questions or wants to chat, you know.
So that was the voice of Andy Gordon, and definitely there's the open invite to have a chat with him, and I certainly enjoyed my chat with him. A thoughtful singer-songwriter, he's based in Kangaroo Valley, a really wonderful place, not far from Wollongong in New South Wales, and his album was the Reverend Jorphy, and that song, Bree Long Black, is one of my favourites of the year so far because it just taps into something a lot deeper than popular culture, that's for sure. It relates a very significant story in Australian cultural history. It's Andy's retelling of the novel, The Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith. So, thanks for listening, everyone. We do have David. He has arrived for African Rhythms. My name's been Matt. I guess it's always Matt. This has been Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. I'm really glad that you were able to tune in. And I'll be back next week. And African Rhythms is right up now with the great David Love Jones, back on the air with African Rhythms. Good night.
My name is Chris Connolly from the band Hot Panda, also known as your professor. Let's get one thing straight. If there's some of you that think this class is going to be a walk of the cake or a flop about in the park, you are sadly mistaken. Half of you will drop out. And the other half of you will wish that you were dead. If I could offer any advice to those of you still hell-bent on attempting to pass my class, it would simply be to keep your radio tuned to CITR 101.9 when you're in Vancouver.